taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
He'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I'm glad you could join me here at the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. You know, this is a place where we come to restore the Constitution to its rightful owners, we the people of the United States. And today we're going to look at what happens basically when you overfeed government. You know, when you just keep feeding them and you never enforce the boundaries you've put around them, like a spoiled child or kudzu in the South, government just continues to grow and overrun everything in its path. And we're in a state where, well, government overrun seems like just about everything. Now, we tend to focus on the federal government, and it certainly has its problems, but we see this in the states as well. Sometimes we see it in states that are doing more than they are allowed. They are violating their own rules. Sometimes we see it by states not doing what they're supposed to do, not protecting the rights that we have given them through our state constitutions. So I want to start out today. We're going to be taking a look at a story I did called Peeping Drones. The proliferation of drones have become another front in the war on privacy. In a case in the Michigan Court of Appeals, we find a question of whether a drone search is reasonable or not. In 2008, Long Lake Township filed a zoning complaint against Todd and Heather Maxson. An agreement was entered into to settle the complaint. Then in 2018, the township filed a civil action claiming that the defendants had, quote, significantly increased the scope of the junk cars and other junk material being kept on their property, quote, which, quote, constituted an illegal salvage or junkyard, close quote. Now, as proof, the township provided aerial photographs taken by a drone. The Maxsons moved to suppress the aerial photographs and, quote, all evidence obtained by plaintiffs from its illegal search of their property, close quote. They argued that the aerial surveillance of their property was an unlawful search in violation of the Fourth Amendment. The township argued that the use of a drone to photograph the Maxson's property was not a violation of the Fourth Amendment, since the property was visible from above. The trial court denied the Maxson's motion to suppress the aerial photographs. They based their decision on cases like Florida v. Riley, which found that, quote, the visual observation of a defendant's premises from a helicopter did not constitute a search under the Fourth Amendment, close quote. This led to Maxson's appealing the trial court decisions, which brings us to the case I'm reviewing today. In general, courts do not consider something a search if the item observed was in plain view, the idea being that if you expected something to be private, you would have not put it where it was publicly visible. In the case of California v. Ciarello, the Supreme Court found that observing someone's property from an aircraft at 1,000 feet did not violate the Fourth Amendment since the aircraft was operating in publicly accessible airspace. A few years later, the court found in the Florida v. Riley mentioned above that observations from a helicopter flying at 400 feet also did not violate the Fourth Amendment. Now, these cases are the basis by which the Michigan Court of Appeals made its decision. In a 2-1 decision, the Michigan Court of Appeals found that because the Maxsons had taken steps to prevent observation from the ground, they had an expectation of privacy, at least against casual observation. The court found that, quote, we conclude that, much like the infrared imaging device discussed in Kelo, low-altitude, unmanned, specifically targeted drone surveillance of a private individual's property is qualitatively different from the kinds of human-operated aircraft overflights permitted by Ciarello and Riley. We conclude that drone surveillance of this nature intrudes into persons' reasonable expectation of privacy, so such surveillance implicates the Fourth Amendment and is illegal without a warrant or a traditional exception to the warrant requirement. In the Kylo case mentioned, police used an infrared imaging device to scan the building for heat which emanates from the high-intensity lights used in indoor marijuana grow houses. The Supreme Court held that since these imaging devices were not generally available to the public, using them constituted an illegal search. Apparently, in the eyes of the court, using an unmanned drone to surveil private property is different than using a manned aircraft. The court found that while a hovering helicopter does not violate a person's property, a drone does. Karen M. Fort Hood dissented from the court's opinion. She claims that the use of a drone is indistinguishable from that of a helicopter when it comes to the Fourth Amendment. So who is right? The majority of the court or the lone dissenter? While I believe the majority came to the right decision, I also agree with the dissent that the difference between using a drone or a helicopter makes little difference in a question of privacy. While a helicopter is quite noisy, I doubt anyone would run outside to cover up their backyard should they hear one approach. In this case, I believe both the majority and the dissent miss a very important point. The question that did not appear to be considered by the court was the intent of the Fourth Amendment itself. Quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated." The Fourth Amendment does not protect us from unreasonable observation, but from unreasonable searches. From Webster's 1828 dictionary, search is defined as, quote, "to look over or through for the purpose of finding something, to explore, to examine by inspection, as to search the house for a book, to search the wood for a thief." Now, courts have conflated the Constitution's protection against unreasonable searches into a right to privacy. Now, while there is an element of privacy involved, the intent of the Fourth Amendment is to protect us from snooping government officials, not from any specific method of that snooping. If a law enforcement officer sees something on your porch while driving through the neighborhood, we wouldn't consider that a search. Similarly, if someone is in a police helicopter and observes something in your backyard, that is not a search. If, however, an officer parks outside your home or hovers around your property in a helicopter for the purpose of finding something, then they are searching. And unless they have a warrant or reasonable exigent circumstances, that is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. If the Long Lake Township had probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, that the Maxons were violating the law, then all they had to do was get a warrant, and the drone surveillance would have been reasonable. Whether the township did not get a warrant because they didn't have probable cause, or because they were just too lazy to bother with it, well, that's a discussion for another day. Now, while I am happy for the Maxons, I am concerned by the ongoing abuse of the Fourth Amendment. By focusing on privacy rather than the searches, the courts have twisted themselves and by extension everyone else into knots with questions of where and when someone has an expectation of privacy. If those on the court would use the language of the Constitution and decide cases based on the reasonableness of the search rather than the method used, not only would our rights be better protected, but we would have fewer twisted court opinions like this one to deal with.
You know, some people like to say that the devil is in the details. And, you know, as a truism, that's fairly accurate. So when we look at this case, what we see is, again, a court twisting itself around trying to distinguish between what is and isn't private, what expectations of privacy someone would have and what expectations law enforcement or the public would have as far as privacy when looking into someone's private property. But they do so missing the plain language of the Fourth Amendment. See, the Fourth Amendment, yes, there's an element of privacy, but the Fourth Amendment protects you from unreasonable searches. I don't care what method they use. I don't care if it's a manned drone or if it's a manned unmanned drone or a manned helicopter. I don't care if it's a cruiser, you know, that's circling the neighborhood or someone, you know, camped out across the street with binoculars. You know, it doesn't matter. The question is not, are they considered private? Is the government searching? That's the point I think we keep missing, at least courts have missed, is that it's not simply a question of privacy, it's a question of searching. If a government official is looking for something, if they are searching, then they need a warrant with probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and specific details of what is they are searching for, or they need what's called an exigent circumstance, which basically means there's no reasonable time to wait for a warrant. An exigent circumstance is usually an officer in pursuit of a felon or obvious signs of distress in the property. You know, if an officer rolls by and sees smoke coming out of your rolling out of your windows, they are allowed to enter your house to see if everyone is safe. If they come to the door and they hear someone screaming for help. And we've all seen that on the television dramas, right? Some officer trying to skirt the rules knocks on the door and looks to their partner. Do you hear that? Do you hear someone calling for help? Now, does that happen in the real world? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it probably happens here and there, but the point is it's a question of searching. And once again, we have lawyers and judges taking a very simple concept and twisting it up into knots. Now, the Michigan Supreme Court came to the correct conclusion. A drone surveilling property without a warrant is an illegal search. Absolutely. I'm happy they got to that conclusion. My concern is the method. It's the details. Because now we see courts niggling over the method rather than the search. You know, they say a helicopter is okay because it's manned, but an unmanned drone isn't. Maybe a helicopter at 400 feet is okay, but a helicopter at 200 feet is not okay. They're arguing over how many angels can dance on the head of the pin, and they are missing the problem right in front of them. You have government searching. Have they met the requirement of reasonableness? Meaning, did they prove in a court of law that they have probable cause supported by oath or affirmation? Or did they have could they prove they had circumstances that could not wait? Neither of which is true in this particular case. But that goes back to what I say, you know, John Jay says we should read and study the Constitution and teach the rising generation to be free. Why? By knowing their rights. She's telling us we should, by knowing our rights, we recognize the problem, not only the invasion, the violation of the Fourth Amendment, but the corruption of the Fourth Amendment by the Michigan Supreme Court. Now, I'm not a person that says the ends justify the means. The means are just as important as the ends. And if we won't get government to follow the rules, well, now it's all in the hands of a judge. Whether or not that search is reasonable has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do with the opinion of a man or woman in a black robe on a bench. And that scares me, because that is not a government run, that is not a country run by rules. That is not the rule of law. That's the rule of men. And what one man can grant, another man can take away. What one judge will condone, another judge can vilify. Next, I want to look at an article I found out of the Daily Caller, and it's titled, 13 States Sue Biden Administration, Demand Ability to Cut Taxes. And that stopped me right in my tracks. I'm like, oh my word. The article says that states sue Joe Biden administration over the American Rescue Plan provisions prohibiting states from cutting taxes after accepting federal funds. Now, if you're not familiar with this, this is, again, federal legislation, and it involved money. You know, it was the bailouts, and it involved money going to the states, and part of the deal was, okay, but you can't cut taxes. And apparently 13 states, I don't have a list of them, but they sued. They're suing in federal court over the provision in the American Rescue Plan that says you can't cut taxes if you're accepting corona relief funds. And apparently the West Virginia Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, made a statement that included, quote, "Never before has the federal government attempted such a complete takeover of state finances," close quote. Well, I have news for Mr. Attorney General Morrissey. And in fact, I have news for the governors and the governments in all 13 of these states. Read the Constitution. First of all, the federal government has absolutely zero authority to tell the states how, when, where to collect taxes. None. Zero. Nada. It doesn't exist. And Mr. Morrissey may be correct. Maybe the governor has never before attempted it. I don't care. It's illegal, it's immoral, and it is void. Wait, Paul, it's void? Yes. Let's take a quick look. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, it's called the Supremacy Clause. And it states, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. What does that mean? That means the Constitution is supreme. What it says goes. Only federal laws made pursuant to the Constitution are also elevated to that point of supremacy. And I'll have to talk about this one day when we talk about the illegal overlapping of those areas. But if Congress passes a law that is not pursuant to the Constitution, it's not law. Now, the 10th Amendment says that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Nowhere in the Constitution is the federal government granted the power to dictate to states whether or not they collect taxes. In other words, it's illegal for the federal government to collect to spend money, to collect taxes, to pay for state operations. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution says that Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to do several things, including 1, to pay the debts, 2, to provide for the common defense, 3, and the general welfare of the United States. Notice it's not of the people, it's not of the several states, it's of the United States, it's of the Union. And that's it. Now, the clause goes on to say, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Do you see where it says to bail out states? Because it's not in there. Congress doesn't have the authority to collect these taxes. So first of all, Congress violated the law when they appropriated money for a purpose they weren't authorized to spend tax dollars on something they were not authorized to spend money on. So there's problem number one. Which means, by the way, states that accept this money are accepting illegal funds. And they're being given rules by which they must follow. And in other words, they're being bribed. They're being offered money to violate the law. That's called bribery. So we have the federal government bribing the states. We have the states accepting the bribe and then complaining about the conditions that the federal government has put on them. And we look at this and we wonder, what is going on? Well, we do that because we don't understand the Constitution. We don't understand the law. Now, the lawsuit that these 13 states have filed argues that the government is not allowed to force states to relinquish control of their taxing authority under the 10th Amendment. Okay, the Constitution doesn't allow the federal government to spend this money in the first place. But the states are quite right. The federal government doesn't have the authority to control the taxing authority of the states. As a general principle, the federal government can tell the states what they can spend that money on, not what else they can do. You know, if you get a birthday card from grandma and she gives you a check for $50 and says, you need to spend this on clothes, well, okay, you can spend it on clothes. But can grandma say, but you have to not do that lawn mowing job for the next 2 months? No, that's ridiculous. That's unreasonable. But that is exactly what the federal government is trying to do. They're trying to take control of the states. They're treating the states as if they are political subdivisions of the United States rather than the creator of the United States. They are the creation trying to take over the creator. Now, I want to back up because there's one other thing I want to point out to these particular states. That is the power that the federal government is actually allowed to wield. What do I mean? So we have a law passed by Congress and signed by the president. It is a violation of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 because it's spending money. It is taking taxes to use for purposes other than authorized by the Constitution. Therefore, it's repugnant to the Constitution. It is trying to impose on the states a power that the United States was not delegated by the Constitution, so it's a violation of the 10th Amendment. And I want to go back and I want to read a couple of passages for you, because the first thing I want to do is I want to read a paragraph from Alexander Hamilton in Federalist 78. Quote, "There is no position which depends on clearer principle than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than the principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid." This is the situation we have today. We have a delegated authority. Congress is a delegated authority. Their power is delegated by the Constitution of the United States. They are acting contrary to the tenor, to the actual word of the commission of their delegated authority. That act is void. It is contrary to the Constitution. And not only does the federal government, by imposing this, try to assume that they are greater than their creator — the states created the federal government, not the other way around — but they are truly saying that the federal government is the master of the states. And that is not the country that was created here in 1787. It literally inverts the power structure. It says the states that created the federal government are now subservient to the federal government, that it can do whatever it wants regardless of the boundaries put on it by the Constitution that created it, that they can do not only what their charter forbids, but does not authorize. Not only what doesn't authorize, but what it forbids. This is a form of coup. Now, some of you may be saying, well, you know, that's, I mean, come on, Alexander Hamilton, Federalist Papers, you know, what does the Supreme Court say about this? Well, you may remember a case called Marbury versus Madison. It is a rather old case, but in the opinion, Chief Justice Marshall wrote, quote, "It is a proposition too plain to be contested that the Constitution controls any legislative act repugnant to it, or that the legislature may alter the Constitution by an ordinary act. Between these alternatives, there is no middle ground. The Constitution is either superior, paramount law, unchangeable by ordinary means, or it is on level with ordinary legislative acts, and like other acts, is alterable when the legislature shall please to alter it. Certainly, all those who framed written constitutions contemplate as forming the fundamental and paramount law of a nation. And consequently, the theory of every such government must be that the act of the legislature repugnant to the Constitution is void." Void, empty, meaningless, useless. Therefore, this legislation, was the American Rescue Plan, the part of it that tells states, hey, you can't reduce taxes if you do this, is void. Chief Justice Marshall goes on later in the opinion and says, "Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument." Okay, Paul, you've made your case. It's void. It's meaningless. What bothered you so much about the courts suing the Biden administration? Because you have the states, the creator of the federal government, going to one of its subservients, the courts of the federal government, in order to protect it from another one of its subservients, the legislative and executive branches of the federal government. You have the states begging their creation for permission to control it. Doesn't that sound odd to you? You, in effect, have a parent begging the child to allow the parent to be a parent. As far as I'm concerned, if I were in one of these states in government and I had my way, I'd simply say, well, thank you very much. First, I would say, thanks, but no thanks. We will not accept the bribe of the federal government. We will not be bribed. We will not sell our sovereignty and our rights for a bowl of pottage. Sorry, we won't do it. And if a state decides and says, well, you know, it's our money coming back to us, which is a common canard. But let's say they do that. Well, guess what? The federal government has no legal authority to tell a state what to do with its taxes. None whatsoever. They have no control over the state taxing authority. So thank you, Uncle Sam, but you can't tell us what to do. See, when the federal government, when the government was created, it's designed to have three branches and three tiers. You have the legislative, executive, and judicial branch at both the at the federal, the state, and the local or county level. And all of these entities are designed, they are supposed to jealously defend their rights. Jealously defend. Begging the federal government for relief from the federal government is not jealously defending your rights. It's begging. It's begging for scraps. And it's disgusting. And it's the type of thing that has weakened the states. It has weakened the union. And it's part of why the federal government has grown so out of control, because the very entities that are supposed to stand up to it and protect us from an out-of-control federal government are sitting down in the job. So as we head out to the break, I want to remind you that the America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where you can stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now you can also hear them on podcast on those same apps. So when I return from the break, we'll take a look at some other situations where governments are out of control.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Hail, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Every day, we're everyday Americans.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are looking at an out-of-control government, an out-of-control federal government. Although we have problems with the state governments as well, it is the overfeeding and unrestrained federal government that is, in many ways, they're not only destroying the republic, they are destroying our rights. So the next thing I want to look at is a news article I found. It says CDC is extending a nationwide eviction ban, even though it's currently being challenged. There are legal challenges against such thing. Now, I've written about this before. Back in September, last September, 2020, I wrote an article called Federal Landlords, where I basically shot all sorts of holes in this idea. Let's start with something very simple. Nothing in the Constitution gives the United States, gives the federal government, the authority to manipulate contracts. See, when you rent something, when you rent a home or an apartment or even a piece of equipment, there's a contract. And in that contract, each party agrees to certain things they will do. And there's usually some clauses that say if one party or the other does not fulfill their property, their requirements, then this will happen. And what happened is a year ago, right, when all the governments, this is, by the way, this is not a COVID problem. This is all being blamed on COVID. This is not a COVID problem. This is a government problem. When governments overreacted to the coronavirus and they illegally shut down businesses and they illegally forced people out of work, it endangered their homes. If you're not working, you're not making money. How are you supposed to pay your rent? That's a problem. So the federal government, in order to fix the mistake they made, said, okay, we'll have the CDC simply bar this. Well, first of all, the CDC can't make law. It can't. It is illegal for the CDC to make law. I'm under 42 USC 264, the regulation to control communicable diseases, that the Surgeon General and the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services are able to create and enforce regulations that are necessary to prevent the introduction or spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries or between the states. What about renting your home has to do with foreign countries or transmission between the states? Nothing. So even the law they're basing this on doesn't say they can do what they can do. That's why I say you got to go back to the documents. My favorite Bible verse is Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And verse 11 says, they, being the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they listened to what was being said and went back to scripture daily to see if it was true. So when a government agent says, listen, under this law, we have the authority to do this, let's go back and see if it's true, because this is a perfect example of it's not true. It's a lie. Right? The Surgeon General and the Secretary of State may be said they are authorized, but they cannot supersede the Constitution, and they certainly cannot give the CDC the authority to write law. That's what we have lawmakers for. So we have this illegal, this violation of the Constitution, an illegal order by a government agent that deprives people of their property without due process of law. See, if you own property for rent, well, that's property. But also the business of the landlord is their property. Again, I base that on what James Madison said in his essay on property in, I think it was 1792. You can find more on my website. Just look for property on my website, constitutionstudy.com. I've written about this before. So you have the federal government, you have an agency enacting powers that the agency was not delegated. An agency that was created contrary to the Constitution, because the federal government, the United States, doesn't have the authority to make medical decisions. And now they're just going to, now that they're being sued, they're just going to say, we're going to keep this up. We are going to double down. We're going to say we can ban this. And again, it's all being blamed on COVID and the coronavirus. This is not a problem with COVID, and it's not a problem with the coronavirus. This is a problem created specifically by state governments. It is the state governments that shut down businesses, which is why states like Florida and South Dakota, they don't have these problems. So this is a federal government acting like a bully, coming in and telling you, you can't do with your property what you want. You can't enact the contract that you have legally established between yourself and the renter, because they're trying to cover up the problems that the states have created. Is anyone else here seeing a pattern? Government makes a mess, ruins people's lives. then another, either the same government or another government comes along and says, we're going to make a bigger mess and ruin more people's lives because we're helping you. I think it's about time we turned around and just said to them, no. No, you have no legal authority to interfere with my contract. Unless you come down and show that I violated some law via due process, you have no authority to deprive me of my property or the enjoyment thereof. You don't. And again, I'm not talking about going and begging the federal government to tell the federal government to leave you alone. I'm telling you, ignore them. Now, that's dangerous, which is why one of the things I recommend everybody do is everybody should make an appointment and meet with their sheriff. See, the sheriff holds a very unique position in our country. The sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of the county. They do not report to the state. They do not report to the federal government. They don't even report to their city or town. They report solely to the American people, and they have taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States and of the their state. And they can protect you when government goes out of control. So if you have a deadbeat tenant and all efforts to resolve the issue have failed, and you have a contract that says if they don't pay for a certain amount of time, you can evict them, you go to your sheriff and say, excuse me, it's time to evict them. And when they say, well, the CDC said we can't, play them this episode. Point them to the website. Look for the article Federal Landlords at ConstitutionStudy.com. The CDC has no legal authority to deprive you of the property of your contract. Tell them, remind them, remind your sheriff, him or her, that they swore to support the Constitution of the United States. That includes ignoring federal mandates that are outside of their purview. And if a judge steps in, says, excuse me, judge, you swore an oath to support the Constitution of the United States and of this state. If you deprive me of this right, you are breaking, you are committing a federal crime. Again, 18 United States Code 242. It is a federal crime to deprive someone of a right protected by the Constitution under color of law. Law enforcement officers, color of law. A judicial officer is color of law. So if they deprive you of a right protected by the Constitution under color of law, they have personally committed a crime. Call the FBI. I know we all want to sue somebody, right? That seems to be the American mantra. I'm going to sue somebody. Well, there's one problem with that. Let's say you sue. You're not even sure to win because you're asking a government to find an opposition of another government. The referee is certainly leading to the others to one side. Anybody that thinks a judge is completely unbiased, well, either they haven't meant to judge or they're living in la-la land. Judges work for the government. They get paid by the government. They hold their positions based on the desires of somebody in government. Do you really think they wouldn't favor the government? Just look at the opinions that are put out. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is, okay, say you win. What's going to happen? Let's say your sheriff or a deputy or a judge or somebody, they deprive you of a right, you sue in federal court, and you win. Who pays? First of all, okay, they may say they can't do that anymore after you spent all the time and money. Now they say, okay, you can actually exercise your contract, maybe make them reimburse you your legal costs, maybe pay you for lost revenue, maybe some pain and suffering, some damages. Who pays? Your neighbors pay. Not the Leo, not the judge, not the governor. Your neighbors. Now, the idea being is if you have somebody who routinely makes your neighbors pay for their mistakes, maybe the neighbors won't vote for them, but take a look around, folks. That's not the way it works. It seems the vast majority of people forget how many times their elected officials have been sued and forced them to pay for it because they keep electing them. So again, we have, not only do we have the CDC going beyond its legal limits, we have the states not standing up and saying, excuse me, we didn't give you that authority. We didn't delegate to you that power. The answer is no. No if, no ands, no buts. No. The CDC has no legal jurisdiction. It has no legal authority. No. That's something the state should be doing. And if your state isn't standing up and saying, no, the CDC has no authority to do this, that has null and void. It doesn't exist. It's meaningless within this state. And anybody that comes and tries to enforce that will be arrested. And if they won't be charged as a federal crime, we'll charge them as a state crime because you are interfering with a contract. Why not? Why is this not happening? Well, partially because the American people don't know any better. And partially because those in government don't know any better. I saw another article that talks about how the landlords are struggling under the eviction ban. And they filed a class action suit. Well, again, you have entities suing the federal government in federal court. The field is unbalanced. It's against them. And there's this group called the New Civil Liberties Alliance. They're listed as a nonpartisan nonprofit. I have no idea. I've not seen anything of them before. But they filed a suit in the district court for the Northern District of Iowa on behalf of a gentleman by the name of Asa Mossman and some others out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Now, I read parts of the suit, and in reading it, I found this, quote, plaintiffs upheld and continue to uphold their end of the bargain. They provide a habitable home to their tenants and continue to pay for maintenance, often utilities, and other expenses. When the tenants breached their respective agreement, plaintiffs should have been able to follow the lawful process laid down by state law for retracting possession of their home. They cannot do that, however, because of an order completely without lawful authority or precedent issued by the administrative agency of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And what seems to be missed is the answer is right here. You see, the plaintiffs are not being prevented from evicting their deadbeat tenants by the CDC. They're being prevented by judges and law enforcement officers who are placing the word of the CDC above their oath, above the Constitution of their state, above the Constitution of the United States, above everything. You have judicial and law enforcement agencies that are acting as agents of an illegal federal agency. It says, the lawyers make the point right here. It is an unlawful, they have no lawful authority to issue, the CDC has no lawful authority to issue the eviction moratorium. Well, if it's not lawful, it's void. If it's void, it's meaningless. What's your problem? So we're going to go beg to the federal government to lift the problems of the federal government. No, the answer is states, look at that, notice it's unlawful and say, sorry, that is not a law created by Congress. It is not done under authority that we gave Congress to create the CDC. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives the Congress the authority to create the CDC. It's void. And I have Alexander Hamilton and I have the Supreme Court to prove it. So stop begging your creation for permission to do what you can do. Do it. If the federal government is the creation of the states and the state set its boundaries, stop begging your creation to do what you already have the power to do. And to the people of those states, stop begging your state agencies, your state elected officials to go beg the federal government. demand they do their job, demand they jealously protect their rights, and by extension, your rights. Don't ask, demand. They're your employees. If they are not capable of defending their own rights, why believe they'll protect anything? If a state government will not protect its own rights, what makes you think they're going to protect your rights? They're not. And if I can't trust them here, why would I trust them with anything else? If I can't trust my state to stand up to the federal government and say, no, you have no legal authority to do this, why do I believe that they would stand up for me when federal troops come marching in? Now, granted, that's a worst case scenario, but it's not an unreasonable one. We have states to protect our rights. We, the people, created those states. We created them when we created the state constitution. And those states created the federal government through the compact known as the Constitution of the United States. And they set boundaries. And part of a state's job is to protect itself from an out-of-control federal government, not genuflect before it. And if the American people began to understand this, began to look at their states not simply as some subdivision of the nation, but as a bulwark against foreign invasion and against federal government encroachment, that is their job. If we looked at them, if that's what we demanded of our elected officials, if we looked at our elected officials and said, if you can't do your job, why am I hiring you? See, an elected official isn't some superhuman person. They don't suddenly become brilliant. They don't suddenly become kings and queens and princes and princesses. They're employees. We hire them to represent us. That's the definition of a republic. We hire representatives. We elect representatives to exercise our power in our name. If they're not going to do it, why do we keep hiring these people? See, we keep looking for a solution somewhere else. We keep hoping that some political solution in Washington will fix the problem. We keep looking for some political solution in our state capitals that'll fix the problem. No, the problem exists right here. You want to know what the problem is? You want to know where the problem exists? Go look in a mirror. And by the way, myself included, I'm not letting myself off the hook. Look in a mirror. Your elected employees are running amok and you're doing nothing about it. They are doing things in your name and by your authority that most Americans would be ashamed of, and you're doing nothing about it. You're sitting on your backside, typing on your keyboard, watching TV, munching Cheetos, and wondering why everything's going to heck in a handbasket. It's because we aren't holding our employees accountable, and we aren't willing to stand up and say, no! It's about time the American people started standing up to their elected officials and saying, no. No, you're not going to do this. I mean, I admit, I was the same way. I spent most of my life looking for someone else to fix our problems. And it wasn't until I really started studying and understanding what we were given, what we've inherited from our forefathers, that I realized I'm looking in the wrong place. I believe it was Albert Einstein that said a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different solution. It doesn't work. We should look at things like the CDC. This should be a point where the American people stand up and say, no. What was the program? Network? It was a movie called Network, and at one point, one of the characters stands up and says, I'm mad as heck, and I won't take it anymore. We don't need to fight. At least not on the battlefield. But you know what? If we don't fight at the ballot box, sooner or later our kids are going to have to fight on the battlefield. And it'll be your fault. And no, that's not a lot of fun. This isn't a happy, happy, joy, joy, feel good. This is hopefully is a good swift kick in the pants. Everybody should be on the phone with their state representative saying, if you allow the CDC, the illegal CDC order to be enforced in our state, we will fire you. I will make it my mission to let everyone know you are a coward and incapable of doing your job, unqualified for this job, I shouldn't trust you as a dog catcher because you won't stand up and do your job. And until the elected representatives are more worried about their constituents than about their donors, America will continue to head down this road towards tyranny. And we will have no one to blame but ourselves. Ronald Reagan once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free." Well, guess what, Americans? Freedom is disappearing in America. The federal government is acting more like the king we booted out in 1776. And the American people are not only standing for it, they're begging for it. They're begging for governments to tell them how to live their lives. And the only way I know to change this is for people to realize what they are losing. To realize that the very liberties and freedoms they claim to cherish are the ones that are being taken away from them. The ones they are begging governments to take away. And if they don't stand up, they will be gone. We inherited from our parents a nation with a certain amount of freedom. Now, when I inherited it, it had more freedom than it does today. When I inherited it, it had less freedom than when my parents inherited it, because it's been depleting for years, but I'm watching an ever more rapidly diminishing of our rights. And what do? Well, we start by looking at things like this CDC order and say, no, unacceptable, not legal, not valid. The court will come up with whatever opinion it wants. The Constitution says if the power is not delegated to Congress, it remains with the states. And you show me in the Constitution where the CDC is authorized. It isn't. You show me in the Constitution where the federal government is authorized to interfere with contracts. It isn't. Where it's allowed to interfere with rental agreements. It isn't. Therefore, they can't. Therefore, it only works because we treat them like the emperor has no clothes. When I was researching my book, I found a website that listed the agencies that are part of the executive branch of federal government. It was like, I think they listed 657, but there were a bunch of duplicates and stuff. There were, I think it was about 500 of these agencies. And I went through each agency and I tried to find something in the Constitution that said the federal government could do that. And 90% of the agencies have no legal authority because the Constitution does not delegate that authority to the United States. The emperor has no clothes. Congress has no clothes. The Biden administration, the Trump administration, the Bush administrations, they have no clothes. They are prancing around stark naked because they have no authority to do what they're doing. And the American people pretend like it's okay. That's where the problem is. That's why I say we need to return the Constitution to we the people. Because when we read it and we study it, we look at them and we can be the child that points at them and says, "You have no clothes. The CDC doesn't have that authority. The federal government doesn't have that authority. You're naked as the day you were born, and we're not paying any attention to you. Not unless we've delegated the authority to you." And then we start looking around our state houses and going, "You know what? Not only are you naked, but you're cowards. Because you won't stand up for the rights we've given you." Yes, we've given the states rights. including the right to defend themselves against the federal government. And they won't do it because they don't fear the American people. And with good reason. Let's face it, we've trained politicians that the best way to keep your job is to lie to us, tell us what we want to hear, and then send us goodies every once in a while. That's the way politics works, right? Think about the last election. Pretty much every piece of every ad you saw, every piece of every mailer you received, every piece of communication from a political candidate, you either said they were going to give you something, they were going to take something away from somebody else, or they were going to do something and make somebody else pay for it. And we fell for it. They told us it's over and over and over again, and we keep falling for it. That's insane. In fact, I've come up with a new saying. Tell me what you think about this one. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, and I'm probably an American voter. Because we keep hiring people that are lying to us, that are stealing from us, that are not doing their job, and we keep doing it over and over and over and over again. The CDC is getting away with this because the American people let it happen. The Biden administration can demand states not cut taxes because the American people let it happen. The American people have hired employees to represent them that let it happen and do nothing to fix it. Do nothing to change it. In fact, most of them don't even realize the rights that are being taken away because it's not taught in schools anymore. So when we see a story about a court in a state that happens to get to the right conclusion but the wrong means, we get all excited and we forget that's just another government agency saying, you know what, other government agency, you probably shouldn't do that. And no one's paying the price. No one's being held accountable. And it's going to keep going and going and going until the American people either wake up and hire better representatives or until they're forced to fight for their rights on the battlefield like we did back in 1775 and on. Find out more about my show and get the latest updates by going to the AmericaOutloud.com website. Hit the menu, look under our shows or schedule. You'll find this, and I want to see you here next time at the Constitution Study.